First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, and Alan is on assignment. And one word about Trevor Loudon, our guest from last hour. It had been, 10 years since I've interviewed him. I don't know when was the last time, but this man has had the courage to speak up and warn people in a way that many people haven't. And this is open to all of us, just saying. So thank you, Trevor Loudon. And Alan Nathan's motto, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We hope that they're out of all of our rights and that they preserve and protect and defend them. We're delighted to have with us founder and president of Less Government. His name is Seton Motley. He is consultant, writer, television, and radio commentator, political and policy strategist, lecturer, debater, and activist. Welcome, Seton Motley, to the show. We appreciate
that. How are you, Miss?
Very, very good. Good. So we know many people are saying, and we just had Trevor Loudon out talking about the fact that Kamala Harris is a red diaper baby and grew up a communist. And people are seeing the evidence of that in her communist price control scheme. Could you explain that to people and our listeners? Because we know it, but there's a lot of people who don't.
Well, I guess they went to government schools and they taught them it was a good idea. There are a million forces at work at any given moment that set a price in a free market. Now, the U.S. hasn't been a truly free market in many, many decades, but coming in with government price controls is like saying, we dumped 500 pounds of manure on you. It smells bad. So here's another 10,000 pounds of manure. We don't really have a free market. However, as the prices that are inflated because of government activity, because of printing money like crazy and then dumping it into the economy. So, of course, the prices go up. This is why her $25,000 for new homes is stupid, because the very first thing that happens is they're going to increase the price of homes by $25,000, because they're not idiots. They're going to see the money coming in. It's why college tuition has gone up exponentially over the decades, because the government's quote unquote helping you pay for college. And every time they dump another round of Pell Grants into the atmosphere, that's how much the college tuitions go up. And so the government has inflated prices here with inflated, printing fake money. So the prices go up because the money's worth less. So it doesn't cost any less to produce the widget, but now you're producing it with fake dollars, inflated dollars, so that raises your prices. That's just 101. And that's not even counting the ancillary, the secondary damage, which is when you inflate the dollar, the economy gets worse, which, of course, leads to increased prices. Now, price controls guarantee you shortages of everything. It murders the items you're price controlling, because if you can't make a profit on something, what is the point of making the product? And everybody, if you're going to do it, if you're going to price cap X, people are going to stop making X because there's no point. Why would they go through the exercise and time and effort and outlay to make the product if they can't make a return on the product? So what you get is shortages. We know this from the 1970s. We put price caps on gas, and what happened? There were lines. You had to sit in line all day to get 4 gallons of gas because that was the most you were allowed to get because they were short, and there wasn't any production because why would you produce something you can't make any money on? This is rudimentary thinking. And you said she's a red diaper doper baby. She was handpicked by Obama, who's a red diaper doper baby. And I will say that I will, in this one frame of reference context, compliment Barack Obama. At least he's reasonably intelligent. Kamala Harris is a moron.
Well, you know, even without all the ad hominem attacks,
it's not an ad hominem attack. It's an accurate assessment. Go ahead.
Well, and here's the thing. Look how long it takes to explain, and rightfully so, from an economist, a person who truly understands economics, to disabuse people of a simplistic answer. Right. When people think, just like freedom of speech, well, if you're offended by speech, you should just ban it. Look how long it takes to explain to somebody what the whole concept and idea of freedom of speech is, and freedom of religion and all the rest, to people who have never been taught it because government schools stopped teaching it on purpose.
Well, in fact, they teach the opposite. They teach the opposite. The reason I keep saying stop calling this communism is because we have 50 years worth of government school victims who've been taught that communism works and is good.
Well, what do you call it?
You're accidentally complimenting it to a bunch of morons. Yes.
Well, what do you call this? Because as I said not too long ago, people of a certain age know the horrors of communism. They know what it has led to. And you just say that, you know, if you grew up anywhere and from the 60s to the 80s, even the 90s, people didn't call each other communists unless they were ready for a fight. Now, as you so unfortunately point out, it's a it's a compliment. So what do you call it? And how do you break through that barrier now?
Well, you may or may not know this, but I moved to Belize 2 years ago.
You did?
Yes.
Wow.
Because there's a whole lot less government down here than there is up there, and a whole lot more freedom and a whole lot less stupidity. No one in Belize thinks communism is a good idea. I defy you to find a single native Belizean who thinks so. No one here thinks men can get pregnant. Anyway... I am Debbie Downer at this point, but not, you know, how do you break through? I really don't think you can. That's why I left.
It's just, are you an expat?
Yes. I've already applied for permanent resident status. Unlike the U.S., Belize truly respects their citizenship. You have to be here for a year, check in with immigration once a month for a year. Then you can apply for permanent residency. You wait a year while you continue to go to immigration. And then hopefully after 2 years, you get your permanent residency. Then you can start the 5-year process for citizenship. They take it very – they interview you. They interview your neighbors, the cops, to make sure you're not a pain and you're not broke. It's an amazingly great process. Oh. So I am an expat, yes, and I'm never coming back if I can help it, yes.
That's heartbreaking, heartbreaking.
Well, I just turned 53, and the country's been going down literally within a month of my birthday, the country's been going down the tubes my entire life. So I'm out.
Well, a lot of people used to say, just to allow ourselves to go down this primrose path, is this side story. They say that God forbid, tui, if America falls, all these other countries that were dependent on America for defense and for protection, they go down the tubes too.
If you've watched what's been going on in the world, the rest of the planet is preparing for the post-U.S. world.
Wow.
mean, look at you know, BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China.
Well, Britain, if I may say, Britain has just instituted arresting people for retweets. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, last year, 400, just to put it in perspective, last year, 400 Russians were put in prison for what they put on social media. Last year, 3,300 Brits were put in prison for what they put
on
social media.
Well, there you go. So post-America, looks like they've already gone communist. Oh, my, what a story. So much to talk about. It was an interesting side story, nevertheless. How do people find you, Seton Motley?
Please go to lessgovernment.org. You can subscribe for free. My favorite four-letter word.
Okay, free. Seton Motley, thank you so much for joining us. We will be back after this on The Al and Nathan Show. Don't go away.
Since this is our 10th season, you know, we had to go even bigger and better than ever before. So for the first time since the show started, there's going to be some new additions to the dollhouse. We have a new room, and it's the party room. And it is a great addition. It's, you know, as the name suggests, a room for parties where you can change the theme of the party to whatever your imagination can come up with. And with the party room comes along a new Gabby Cat, which is so exciting. And his name is Marty the Party Cat. He is so fun. He's a ball of energy. He's being played by the wonderful actor Darren Criss, who's also a wonderful singer. So lots of fun songs and adventures to come from there. So a lot of good stuff to expect. For more information, you can go to the website, gabbysdollhouse.com. There's lots of fun activities and crafts that you can look up on there. And the new season, the 10th season, is now streaming on Netflix. So you can go to Netflix to check that out and all the other seasons.
The first thing that people need to understand is that demand for power in this country is surging. And that's really great news, right? What that means is that the economy is growing and that we're bringing manufacturing jobs back to this country. What the report shows is that clean power, right, wind, solar, batteries, is helping to meet that demand by providing power that's affordable, pollution-free, and made right here in America. And it's really been a tremendous amount of progress in the last 2 years, right? Just in the last 2 years, $500 billion of private sector capital has come to build clean power in this country. And it's creating incredible, you know, economic growth across the country and bringing back manufacturing, which we think is really significant. For more information, check out cleanpower.org, where you will find this recent study as well as a whole lot of information about what's happening in your community and across the country.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Al and Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. We're delighted to have as our next guest Amazon TV talk show host, political analyst, commentator, professional speaker, and his latest book, What a Fascinating and Unbelievably Relevant Topic, Preserving Liberty, Bold and Brave Solutions to Save America and Create Permanent Freedom. Josh Bernstein joins us right now on The Al and Nathan Show. Hi, Josh. Good to have you.
Good to have you and have me back on. I've actually been on your show in the past, many years ago.
Oh, well, good to have you. What an important subject. Many people, in fact, a few of the guests we've had on thus far, are concerned that the road that we're on to communism, tyranny, and Stalinism, whatever you want to, ism you want to call it, that we are too far gone and we can't get it back. What say you, Josh?
Well, I don't have a fatalistic approach or view to it yet. I mean, obviously, we've got to get on track and we've got to get on track quick. I think it's interesting that they're not even trying to hide who they are anymore. They're literally using Nazi propaganda from the 1930s for their slogan, which is this whole joy thing that was originated by the Nazi Party in the 1930s and early 1940s. So, yes, we are clearly dealing with some bad actors here that do not believe in freedom, do not believe in liberty and prosperity, and do not want us to be anything other than, you know, their slaves, clearly. And so that means that we have to understand that it's not just about voting anymore. It's not just about doing that. It's really more than that. It's now voting and getting other people to vote and chasing ballots. That's what we're seeing in Pennsylvania with early vote action. They're going after low propensity voters there. It's very interesting that right now you have a situation in which a major party has subcontracted the Get Out the Vote operation. But I think this time it's going to be successful because you have Turning Point Action. You've got all these other different groups in each respective state. And so we're watching everything. We're keeping an eye on everything. We're watching the drop boxes. We're making sure that we're filing lawsuits. You know, the sad thing is the left says we're going to cheat. And because we're going to cheat, you're going to have to file a lawsuit to stop us because they're so unscrupulous. Yeah.
That's quite true.
So, yeah, look, it's going to be
Or they punish people for suggesting that our elections are not free and safe.
Well, clearly they are not free and safe. They are definitely not. And things have been done. There's been progress made. We've gotten 28 states to get rid of the CTCL, which was the Zuckerbucks and things like that. But it's not perfect. And thank God we got rid of Rona McDaniel and were able to take over the RNC, because since that has happened, there's been a lot more election integrity focused issues that they have been working on. But we don't know. Is it enough? I mean, look, they flooded this country with illegal aliens on purpose. They're trying to get them to be registered to vote at a faster clip than we've seen since 2014. 3.3 million of these people have already been fast-tracked as citizens. It used to take over 11 months to become a citizen. Now they're averaging about four and a half months. Because they've cut down on all the backlog and everything else. I mean, yeah, look, it's scary. When your government is committing treason on a daily basis, it's a little difficult. But, you know, we have to continue to fight. The treason part is when they're flying people directly into the country. They're literally invading the country against the people. That's treason. U.S. Code 2381.
There are stories of that actually happening. People from Haiti and otherwise, they just flew them directly into the country, not even going. And we have reported on that. So with people feeling, dare I say, depressed, discouraged, you wrote this book called Preserving Liberty, Bold and Brave Solutions to Save America and Create Permanent Freedom. Do any of these... take into account, God forbid, if they cheat Kamala Harris into office? Or is this only if Trump gets in and can dismantle some of the bureaucracy and the ideology that is choking this country?
Well, a lot of it, you know, talks about we the people, and it talks about the fact that we the people have all the power. The government does not have this power. We've given it to them, but we can also take it back. And so what it talks about is solving the issues is not just going to be from just one man winning an election, which, of course, you know, he has to be in that position in order for us to focus on getting things done for the country and getting them done quickly. But we are the people, and we are the ones that can redress our government. We're also the ones that it says purely in the Constitution, if they're not working for us or against us, they can be replaced. And there are ways and means to do that peacefully. So, again, a lot of it has to do with that. It also has to do with the fact of just changing the way that we do things as Americans. You know, stop buying Chinese-made products and goods and services. Never, ever use the app Temu, which is you're supporting slave labor. You know, I go after Fauci and COVID and to be disobedient and never just lay down and accept what they want from you. And then, of course, the election part is really, really important. We've got to get rid of sandbagging where they – don't report until after a certain time when all the red counties report, then they you know, there's a couple of counties out that are the blue counties. They're waiting to see how many votes they need, and then they report after that so they can say it was a close race when they steal
right.
it. So
right.
it's things like that. There's 3,142 counties or county equivalents in the United States, and only 144 of those is where 50% of the U.S. population lives. So for us to sit here with a straight face and say that we're a quote-unquote representative government when 5% of the people represent and the other 95% of the people do not have any say in who their elected officials are, that's an issue. That's a problem. The left talks about wanting to get rid of the Electoral College and just destroy it so that they can run up the coasts with all the people in the popular vote and never and you know keep Republicans from ever winning again. Mine is different. Mine kind of talks more like about Nebraska and Maine and how they proportion some of the electoral votes based on a county structure rather than just by the state. And so I've broken it down and I have a formula that if it was ever implemented would give that 95% of the country that currently does not have any say in their elected leaders a lot more power. And then we'd become much more representative of a government. So it's right. similar to a Project 2025 if Project 2025 was an 8-foot tall Bigfoot. That's similar to the way the book was written.
I wish we had time to get more into Project 2025. People have been hearing about this, and it's all
Trump should have embraced it, not run away from it. It's a limited government.
And so how do people get your book, Preserving Liberty?
Go to Amazon and go to Preserving Liberty Book, and you can pre-order it today.
Thank you very much, Josh Bernstein. Thank you for joining us. When we come back, we'll tackle yet another interesting subject. You're going to want to stay tuned for this. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile, with help from Rob Gronk Gronkowski, is celebrating high school football by rolling out Friday night 5G lights, providing a platform for small towns across America to showcase their community spirit and compete for a $2 million football field makeover. In addition to the $2 million grand prize, T-Mobile will award $25,000 to 16 finalists, as well as give $5,000 to 300 high schools during the competition's entry period from now to September 20th to support high school football programs nationwide. John Fryer, president, T-Mobile Consumer Group.
I'm so excited to team up with Gronk for T-Mobile Friday Night 5G Lights. Friday nights are when we come together to cheer our team, show our hometown pride, and connect.
In over 3 years, T-Mobile has invested millions into small towns and billions into lighting up 5G across America, adding nearly 500,000 square miles of new 5G coverage and hundreds of new stores. Learn more about Friday Night 5G Lights and how to apply at www.fridaynight5glights.com. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
Calling all teachers. Office Depot is proud to announce our new classroom wish list and benefits designed with you in mind. Teachers can now create a customized classroom wish list while earning 5% back in rewards on qualifying purchases made from their list, and 5% back for their school in credits for free supplies. Verify teachers with an Office Depot Office Max reward membership can also take advantages of new benefits, like a coupon for 20% off one qualifying regular or sale price purchase. Valid only at OfficeDepot.com or in-store. Make a difference in the lives of teachers and students at your local school through our Give Back to Schools program. At checkout, in-store, or online, enter the school ID and the school can earn 5% back in credits. Start the school year strong and save up to 60% on Office Depot's best-selling school essentials. Visit OfficeDepot.com. Sponsored by Office Depot Office Max.
Summer can be hot. Preparing for the temperature is the key to staying safe and cool. I'm Joel Reyes, and I've been driving with UPS for more than 20 years. Staying safe in the heat is all about preparation. Here are three tips to keep in mind. 1. Stay hydrated. Drink water throughout the day and eat foods with high water content. 2. Wear appropriate clothing and use cooling gear like hats, towels, and sleeves. 3. Find cool or shaded areas to recharge when needed. Stay safe in hot weather. Brought to you by UPS.
John Nichols was making major strides in his career when at age 32, a water skiing accident left him critically injured. Fortunately, he had disability insurance.
For me, disability insurance was the safety net. I did not have to worry about the bills. I did not have the financial concerns.
Thanks to disability insurance that John had through work and on his own, he continued to receive an income until he could return to work. Learn more at protectyourpaycheck.org, a message from the nonprofit Life Foundation.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And next on the agenda, we have Tessa Cox, Senior Research Associate at the Charlotte Lozier Institute. She's appeared at CBN on CBN News and EWTN News nightly and has testified before members of Congress on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Tessa, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Thanks so much for having me on, Karen.
Yes, so apparently you just released, or the Charlotte Lozier Institute released a study on an under-researched topic that compares the mental health service utilization of people who've lost pregnancies, their first pregnancy that ended in abortion, versus those of natural pregnancy loss. What were those results and why should people care?
Yes, so this was a study that looked at women who had either a natural pregnancy loss or an induced abortion in their first pregnancy. And for this, we looked at the experiences of women on Medicaid in the states that use their own tax dollars to fund abortions for women who are enrolled in Medicaid. And we looked at the mental health treatments that women were having both before and after that first pregnancy, whether it was an abortion or whether it was a natural pregnancy loss. And we saw two really interesting things. And the first was that in the period before that first pregnancy, women who are going to go on to have a natural pregnancy loss actually had higher rates of mental health treatment than women who had abortions. But then after that pregnancy, that first pregnancy, women who had abortions actually had big increases in their use of mental health treatment. And so, and the women who had natural pregnancy losses did not. So, and that was really interesting for a couple of reasons, because it shows that having that abortion is associated with a big jump in use of mental health treatment. And it shows that that's not being driven by mental health treatments before the abortion. So it was a really interesting study for us.
There's so many aspects of this to address. Now, is your organization using this as a, well, first let's back up. The culture, the pro-abortion side of the equation doesn't want people to hear or know about this. In fact, we now have celebrities and others celebrating their abortion. It's one thing to keep it, you know, safe and legal, or legal and rare, as they used to say not very long ago. Now they're celebrating their abortion. How does your organization address that? Because we know you probably want to use the government to limit abortion, maybe even make it illegal. So here we go again with this notion of, you know, should the government get involved or not? And you tell me where your organization stands on all that.
So you're right. We've seen a definite shift in abortion now being something that's celebrated, that's embraced, and women are told that this is something that's easy, that there are really no long-term ramifications. It's an easy choice, and it really doesn't impact your life in any major way. And what we want as a research organization is for women to have all of the facts and for women to know the truth. And I'm pro-life. I believe that life begins at conception, but I believe that people should be fully informed. And regardless of where you come down on the issue, pro-life or pro-choice, women should know that having an abortion can be associated with this big increase in mental health treatment. So it's counter to what we hear from a lot of the conversation about abortion these days.
Yes, and apart from the policy issues, which this issue has been such a political football for so long that some people just tune out. But from a mental health standpoint, it's not really hard to see why people would have an emotional, psychiatric, and a difficult reaction. If you take the politics out of it, which probably will never happen, if you have a pregnancy growing in your own body, in your womb, and you end that pregnancy on purpose, it's not that hard to believe that you're going to have an emotional reaction to it. And yet somehow this is politically out of favor. I'm going back again, but you know what I'm saying? It's not that difficult to understand that, really.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of us, I'm sure, have experience with this in our own lives, talking with people who have had abortions, hearing what the experience has been like for them, and for so many people who have been involved with abortion, whether it's a woman who has had one, or maybe the father of a baby who was aborted, or family members, friends. It's something that has touched them deeply, and it's continuing to impact them, continuing to grieve them years later. And we've seen that in other research that we've done, that especially women who feel like abortion was their only choice, who felt pressured into it, point to the negative impact that it's had on their lives even years after the fact. So it's not surprising at all to see that borne out in the data in this study, that abortion is connected with this jump in women's use of mental health treatment. I think it's what we would expect.
I mean, it seems logical. Well, we have enough time to talk about a little bit more about what this organization, the Charlotte Lozier Institute, does. I mean, there's so many organizations dedicated on one side or the other to fight with the politics, but you're a research organization. What's something else that you think that maybe people haven't heard before that your organization came up with in your research?
Sure. Yeah. So like you said, we're a research organization, and we want to put the facts out there. We want people to be informed, and people can look at the research, read it for themselves, come to their own conclusion, but we want to have good, solid research out there And we cover really the whole gamut of the life issue. So looking at the impact of abortion on women's health, we also look at we put out a series of reports looking at the work of pregnancy centers and the nearly 3,000 pregnancy centers nationwide and the work that they do, quantifying that, trying to put that into numerical terms, just the number of people that they serve and the value of those services. And it's striking to see that pregnancy centers offer millions of dollars worth of virtually free services to their clients every year. And I think that's really important, especially in light of studies like this one, seeing how abortion impacted so many of these women negatively, to know that there are positive options out there. There are options, there are alternatives to abortion, and then there are opportunities for healing as well, for people who need healing, who are looking for that. And there is a whole network of pregnancy centers and other organizations that exist for just that. But we also do other research, diving into what women are saying about their experiences with abortion. We've really focused on abortion drugs and how that's impacting women and just the risks that those pose, especially as they've become available through the mail, easily available online, charting the increase in drug-induced abortions and just how it's become a tool for abusive partners and for traffickers. So we try to keep an eye on everything that's going on related to abortion and put out research that's usable by everyone else.
What do you make of, I mean, we got to end it here, but what do you make of the radical left demonizing these pregnancy centers that you just got through talking about? They say they're pro-choice, right? But yet they're going to demonize people who want to offer a choice. So we haven't seen that before. It used to be that they would vociferously disagree, but they wouldn't, I don't know, try to blow up pregnancy centers as if nobody should take that choice of actually having a baby and carrying it to term. You got a comment on that before we let you go?
Yeah, it's absolutely heartbreaking, and you're spot on. And the results of that study that I mentioned earlier, asking women about their experiences with abortion, 60% said that they would have preferred to carry to term if they had had more emotional or financial support, if someone had come alongside them. Huh. That's what pregnancy centers do, and women deserve a real choice.
Wow. Thank you so much. How do people find your organization, the Charlotte Losier Institute? I bet you could just find it online, right?
Losierinstitute.org.
Say that one more time. We didn't hear you.
Losierinstitute.org. L-O-V-I-E-R Institute.org.
Thank you, Tessa Cox. We appreciate your time. Well, we're going to wrap up the show with one more guest. Don't go away. We'll have that guest when we get back.
Hi, I'm Melissa Yeager, the head of nutrition at MyFitnessPal. Protein is a macronutrient that is popular to talk about these days and essential for each and every one of us to incorporate throughout our diet to support our overall health and well-being. Because not only does it support our muscle mass, but it also helps to keep us full longer and stabilize those blood sugar levels to in turn reduce cravings and help us navigate incorporating more nutrient-dense foods throughout the day. And this is where the Quick Start High Protein Plan from MyFitnessPal can help us not only identify protein sources within our diet, but provide us with easy tools such as our downloadable grocery shopping lists and easy to incorporate recipes to help set you up for success with your high protein diet. Now, to get started with this, you can head to the Apple App Store or Google Play Store to download MyFitnessPal for free today and get started with the Quick Start High Protein Plan.
As extreme weather events become more common, CVS Health is introducing a first-of-its-kind environmental health impact initiative to support the most vulnerable people. Dr. Dan Necht, Vice President and Chief Clinical Innovation Officer for CVS Caremark, shares information on this new initiative.
As a practicing doctor, I see the impact severe weather events like heat waves have on chronic conditions like heart disease and asthma. So I know the importance of early intervention. The Environmental Health Impact Initiative pairs advanced weather data with Aetna Medicare member clinical and socioeconomic information to identify the most vulnerable living in areas facing extreme heat. Our registered nurses then proactively contact these members several days before a heat wave and provide tailored recommendations and resources. We plan to expand this initiative to those most at risk of poor air quality and people visiting CVS Pharmacy and MinuteClinic.
For more information, go to cvshealth.com.
I love working with Target because they are my back-to-school headquarters. So many great deals. 20 must-have school supplies for $20 total. Your Mondo Llama colored pencils, your up-and-up glue, notebooks, you name it. Deal of the century, the Summer Ridge backpack for only $5. Of course, if you're headed to college, we've got you covered for dorm. Room essentials, those XL twin sheets, four packs of towels, under $10. And if you are a college Target Circle member, 20% off your total purchase to September 28th. Of course, you also want to be a Target Circle 360 subscriber to unlock more savings, more discounts, and ultimate convenience, including unlimited same-day delivery on orders $35 or more. Target loves their teachers. For $49, you're going to get all those bells and whistles for the entire year, and college students, $4.99 a month. Go to Target.com and download the Target app for more.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And it is a great time in a show to take a little bit of a detour from all the misery and heartache to a little bit of artistic expression. How do we deal with it? I've been asking that question for a long time. Sometimes it's the serenity prayer, accepting the things you cannot change, the courage to change the things you can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And here to talk about what she's done to address it, and I think it can be, I hope, inspiring for others, is author, poet, writer on Substack, and an attorney. Her debut poetry collection is entitled Silent Suffering, Poems of Pain and Purpose. Leslie Corbly joins us right now. Thank you, Leslie, for taking the time to be on our show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, so you're a poet, and you write about silent suffering. How did you Have you been writing poetry for a long time? And what inspired you to write? I'm thinking it has something to do with people who are lamenting about what appears to be the loss of our country. What are you saying?
Sure, it's funny. So I don't have a background in poetry at all. My BA is in journalism. I did a minor in constitutional studies and then went to law school and have worked in law, policy, and things of that nature. But for a long time, I've really thought that there was too much homogeneous thought in anything related to art realm. You know, it seemed to me that a lot of people shy away from the arts due to it being such a left-wing dominant mode of expression. And that classically wasn't the case. You know, you look at a lot of art throughout Western history, and a significant portion of it came from, and classical art came from religious and more traditional worldviews. So I kind of wanted to inject a little bit of that viewpoint diversity into the arts by taking the poetry takes philosophy, history, and theology and weaves it into poetic form. So that it was designed to take sort of a more analytic approach to poetry than what is typically seen in the genre.
Huh. But it's still poetry, right?
Yes. So it borrows from classical poetry in that it uses meter and rhyme, but it tends to focus more on stimulus of the mind rather than the physical senses. So a lot of poetry you'll read focuses on, you know, the five senses, which is fantastic, but I kind of intentionally focus more on mental stimulation and philosophic thought.
Well, you know what? This could be a first. I don't know about Alan Nathan, but it could be a first when I have filled in. Could you lay on us one of your poems that is short enough, you know, to fit into our very limited time frame here that you think might be, you know, give us a little taste of your poetry?
Sure. Let me pull up. Now you're making me decide which section to draw from.
It doesn't whole one, but especially things, if I may, that have to do with this malaise or this pain of watching our country move towards the very tyranny that our ancestors had fought to preserve, and we're watching it go away, if I may.
Sure, I think I have one for you. It's from, so just for context, the poetry collection is divided into four sections. The first is yearnings, which are kind of what we all, the emotions we all grapple with, that we like, we want community, we want to be loved, we want to, you know, things of that nature. We want intimacy, we long for kind of human connection. And the second moves into infinite complexity, and that's where we grapple with sort of what we think good is, right? What is our view of goodness and beauty and truth? Yeah. And some of these concepts that are very broad and subjective, but we all kind of want to know, you know, what our viewpoint on that is so we can navigate the world correctly. Okay. And then the third moves into oppression, which is actually a critique specifically of the progressive postmodern moment, right? It critiques that sort of idea, the ideas that of human dignity that are dominant, I think, in our culture today from a left-wing viewpoint, and then it moves into hope. So to your point on kind of what has our country become, I'm pulling from a poem. It's very short, and it's from the section titled Oppression, and it's titled The Progressive Man. So if you want me to, I can launch right into it.
Please do.
Fantastic. Deceptive, hubristic, narrow-minded, blindly trusting how perverse, ears and eyes closed to justice, truth he seeks to subvert. Rudderless and vapid, his mind turns to mush. Instinctively, he lashes out, all dissenting views to crush. Purity of mind is his heaven, only the holy pass to this place. But as the canon evolves, incessant fears he cannot shake. This fear destroys discernment, spiraling downward he falls, into the depths of despair, bound by ever harsher laws.
Wow. Well, you got one. Since we have, as I said, very little time, you got one that is uplifting, encouraging for those of us who, you know, have been living this for a long time now, right?
Yes. Oh, do you want me to read another one?
If you have one that's,
because
we probably only have time for one more, but if you have one or a portion of one that's uplifting, encouraging, something like that, to end on.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
we'll tell everybody how they can get your book.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a fun one. Well, yeah, I think one that's a little more uplifting titled Hope.
Excellent.
Is it by habit or design the breath you breathe? Is your life yours or merely a physical sign of what the world sees? Why live without a voice describing your beliefs? Hope is not easy. It is a choice that need not end with relief. Hope is no empty cliche spoken to retain worldly peace. Hope sees past earthly decay, even as pain may increase.
Wow. Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that was the end. You know, I'm so glad that I asked you to read some of these, because I'll tell you what my impression is. The fact that you've had such a cerebral background, you're an attorney and you've done all this other stuff, I think that not only is that encouraging, but it also encourages others to express themselves in a creative way with all that is going on today, not only to get involved and make their voices heard, but also make their soul and their heart heard as well. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think that's actually critical. I think that's one of the reasons that the left was so successful in the culture wars.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true. Leslie Corbley, I'm looking at your book right now on Amazon. Anywhere else you can get it, and that people can get your book?
Absolutely. So it's available on all major retailers. So if you go to barnesandnoble.com or somewhere like that, it's available. Or you can hop over to my website, lesliecorbley.com.
Corbly. Thank you for joining us. We got to run. That does it for this edition of the Al and Nathan Show. Thank you for joining us, and come back soon.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.